Greetings of grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon text for this morning will be taken from Paul's letter to the Romans, and we'll be reading from the 13th chapter, and we'll read just the latter part of that chapter, verses 11 through 14. Again, that's Romans 13, and we'll read just from verse 11 to verse 14. And I'll read then as follows in the name of our Lord. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. Amen. Shall we pray? Our gracious Father, again, Father, we're thankful to you for your word. And we do pray, Lord, that you would indeed inspire us this morning by your Holy Spirit. That even as we have gathered here as your people, as your children, that, Father, we rely again this morning completely on you and your provision. So provide for us what we need this morning and sanctify us in the truth, for your word is indeed the truth. For Jesus' name's sake, we pray. Amen. It's rather difficult, actually, for me to jump into a text like this, into just the latter portion of a chapter like this. But there's just way too much to cover. If we were to look at that whole 13th chapter, we'd be here for quite a while. So I simply want to make a distinct point this morning as we consider ourselves in light of God's word and in light of the message of Christ. What does all of this mean for us, especially now as we enter into the Advent season? The Advent season is a marvelous season, as it was laid out by the church fathers of old as they put together what we call the church year. Because the Advent season is a season that is full of hope, it is full of expectation, but it also has a note or a message of preparation as well. So in other words, in the early church, and I probably have mentioned this in the past, but you know how it is when you've been preaching for long enough to the same group of people, you're bound to repeat yourself once in a while. Nevertheless, the season of Advent was often looked at in some ways in comparison to the season of Lent. So in other words, in Lent, you understand Lent. Lent is actually a season of mourning, of fasting, of prayer, of waiting, or, you know, leading up to the time of Holy Week, where you would then begin to consider the things of the cross and of the resurrection. But also in the season of Advent, the hope and expectation that we have is very prevalent in the coming of the Messiah, as we consider on Christmas Day the birth of the Christ child and all of that means now and has meant for the world. But you see, as we look at Advent, we also have the message of the second coming of Christ as well. And the second coming of Christ to some people actually brings them a great amount of fear and trepidation, where they begin to fear this day, the day that is coming when Christ will appear the second time in all of his glory, in all of his majesty, in all of his power, and in all of his might. And so therefore, it's often looked at as a season of preparation as well. And actually, if we were to look at some of the readings out of the John the Baptist, we would see that John the Baptist taught this very clearly as he spoke to the people of his day and age, preparing them for the time for the first coming of Christ. Now, there's a very interesting thing that takes place in the heart of the human being when we think about the second coming of Christ. Some people simply just discount it. They just say, well, no, there's no such thing as that. You know, basically we're here by pure chance and we live here in this world, and after our lives are over in this world, whatever that time frame may be, we simply cease to exist. We go off into oblivion. We turn into dust, and that's the end of it. But we who are partakers of the first coming of Christ, who have heard the message of the Christ child, have realized that indeed he came into this world in order to make me his own, to go through all of the work that he did in order to make me his own, to purchase me, to wash all my sins away, have a new identity now when we look at the second coming of Christ in a far different way. Too often people, church people in fact, look at the second coming of Christ with a great amount of fear. Or perhaps just don't want to think about it at all. But we are children of the day. You see, this is really what Paul drives home as he closes out this chapter in this part of the letter. We are children of the day. We are not children of the night, and therefore, that is now what identifies us as people in this world. There is a difference between those who are believers in Christ and those who are not. One of the distinct differences is that we who are the children of the Messiah, who are the children of God, who are the children of light and of the day, are those who simply look forward to the time when Christ will come back. It is a time we wait for with hope and expectation. We can't wait. Sometimes I forget I have this on. We can't wait till he comes back. And you see, I hope as I address you as an audience of people this morning, that is the way it is for you as well. As you think about the first coming of Christ, you think about it in full expectation. That's the whole idea of this candle, this wreath, by the way, the Advent wreath. It's simply building up our hope and our expectation as we wait, as we light one candle after another in succession, waiting till the time when we celebrate the birth of Christ. Because we recognize, as the children of God, what that birth meant for us. It changed us completely. Because of the birth of the Messiah and because of his coming into the world, we are no longer those who are bound to the darkness. We are no longer those who are ruled by the darkness. We are not darkness. You see, my friends, you cannot be both. You can't be children of the day and children of the night. It does not work that way. You are either one or you are the other. And the scripture clearly identifies us as children of the day. We are those who, because of the finished work of Christ, have been brought now out of darkness into the glorious light. And here now is where we stand and must stand. To stand in any other place is to have no hope at all. It is to be hopeless. If you stand this morning in your own works or your own ability or your own religion or to the church that you belong to or whatever else it might be, you are in a very precarious position. The only position that guarantees you, that gives you the hope of salvation, is your position in Christ. And this, I stress all the time, you know, those of you who listen to me Sunday after Sunday, but it is the most important message that you can hear and will ever hear on this side of heaven. Because it is the message, my friends, that'll bring you all the way into the land of glory. It is the message of the hope that we have in Christ. He says, it's time to wake up. And this is a wake-up call. This is a wake-up call, my friends. He says that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. It's time for you to wake up. It's time for me. It's time for me to wake up. That's really what Paul is saying. There's no more time for slumbering and unawareness and ignorance. Ignorance is not bliss. It is time to wake up, to hear the message of the gospel and to begin to live it out in your lives if you are not doing so, because you are children of the day. And because you are children of the day, who are the ones who have been saved by the merits of Jesus Christ, your lives now are to reflect that. And that's really what Paul says, actually beginning already in the 12th chapter, where he says, and I'll read it for you, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." And then he goes all the way down through chapter 12 and chapter 13, and then he has this little aside, as it were, in the end of this chapter, where he says, you know that the time is coming. Our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. Have you ever thought of that? Your salvation is nearer to you today than when you first believed. Because the days keep moving on, and the years keep clicking by, and the time keeps going on, and we have no idea, do you, you and I this morning, when our time here on this earth will cease to exist. We have no way of knowing that. And so therefore he says, you who are the children of the day, understand this and wake up. Wake up. And live like children of the day. Because he says the night is far spent and the day is at hand. I think one thing that's really quite telling is how the early church looked at the day of Christ. They expected it at any moment. They knew that he could show up at any moment and take them to be with him. In fact, they lived in expectation of this. And they were concerned if someone died. You can read in 1 Thessalonians. If someone died and Christ hadn't come yet, well, what happened? Why didn't he come? Do we have this kind of expectation in our lives where we're waiting? We're not like dreading that day. We're actually waiting for it. And we live our lives in full expectation of that day. We actually can really live when we understand what it means to be a follower of Christ. You see, because before that, all of these things that he talks about in here are simply things that happen in the dark. things that are selfish by their very nature, things that are self-serving, that promote self, that promote the human being, so to speak, that call us to worship oneself. He says, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Someone might ask, how does one do this? Correct? How do I put on the armor of light? And this is always the question that we deal with as we look at the scriptures and as we read from Ephesians and so on. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Put on this armor that you may be able to stand in the wicked day. Put on all of these things so that you're able to resist the enemy as he comes at you with all of his devices and schemes and accusations. Put this on. You see, this is how we put this on. Not by our own efforts, but by actually trusting and believing what the Lord Jesus Christ says in his word. It's as simple as that. Because it's not by my great resistance against sin. It's not by my great ability to walk in a perfect way in this life or to uphold the law of God that I'm able to stand. I can't uphold the law of God. That's the whole point. I needed someone. Actually, if you were to read this whole letter, and this is always the difficulty in preaching a sermon from the middle of a letter, because if we were to read this whole letter, you would see Paul would very clearly in the first three chapters put it to us just like it is. You all, every one of you, have sought your own things. You have not sought after your God. None of you are good. No, not one. And the law has exposed this for you. When you measure yourself up against the law, you find that indeed you are dead. But Christ has come. You are justified. The third chapter, 24th verse, you are justified now by grace. Justified means to be made right. I put on the armor of light simply by knowing and acknowledging who I am in Christ. As I enter into this world, this is who I am. Christ's righteousness now covers me. I have this armor of light. I understand. I don't want to go to the darkness because that's not who I am any longer. So therefore, those things don't appeal to me. Because my opinions and my decisions are made for me by Christ. Which is why Paul talks about this in this letter as well. He says, look, I understand the earthly struggle. I understand the battle that we all have with the flesh. I have the same battle. I do the things that I shouldn't be doing, and the things that I should be doing, and I don't find myself doing them at all. But thanks be unto God. Thanks be unto God. That there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. This is who you are. So let us put on the armor of light. Let us understand who we are. It's time the church understood who they are. It's time for the church to stop hanging its head and bemoaning its sinfulness. It's time for the church to rise up. It's time for the church to understand its position in this world and its mission as well. We are the people who are the children of the day. Paul stresses this. I'm going to read for you in a little while from 1 Thessalonians as well. Because we are the children of the day and understand that the coming of the Lord could be at any moment. We find it urgent that other people would hear this message as well. This Christianity is not simply just about me and my skin. You see, that's the problem that we have as people. We're so worried about me. I got to make sure I'm saved. I got to worry about me all the time. And I go through this vicious cycle all the days of my life where one day I'm good with God and one day I'm not. We have no understanding at all what it means to be children of the day and have the armor of light, where we can walk into this world boldly proclaiming the message of Jesus Christ. And if it means taking it on the chin, then we take it on the chin. And if people hate us for it, then they hate us for it. We simply go forth and bring the message of the gospel, and we don't carouse in the darkness. We don't carouse in the darkness. We run screaming from the darkness because it doesn't identify us any longer. This whole thing he says here, let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. He says those things don't identify you any longer. Why would you even consider those things? Like he says here, let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting. And this term actually is like carousing, where one would go out and carouse in this world. To mingle, as it were, with the sinful things of this world, whatever those might be. And because of the audience, I won't even begin to endeavor to go into that realm. But Paul, in Paul's day, dealt with the same kind of culture that you and I deal with today as well. And he's telling them, you are children of the day. Don't go into those places and begin to indulge your flesh in those ways, because that's not who you are. He had said earlier in this chapter that we are those who are lovers. Love is the fulfilling of the law. And love is not simply to love someone in order to gratify my own desires and wants. That's not love at all. Love is to lay my life down for the sake of the other person, because I'm a child of the day. He says, don't walk in these things, in rioting, and in drunkenness, these things which are all indication of darkness. These things actually happen, he says, very often in the darkness, in the night. Under the cover of darkness, people become inebriated. Well, they become drunk. Under the cover of darkness, they go carousing. Under the cover of darkness, they go into all of these various things that he talks about here, chambering and wantonness, this selfish desire of the flesh where it seeks to gratify all of its desires. And you can just imagine what all of those desires are. He says, don't make any provision for any of this. And you know what that means? Not in strife or envying, but he says in the last verse I read for you, but put you on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provisions for the flesh. In other words, he says, don't plan on this. Don't plan on going out into this world and begin to gratify my sexual desires. I'll just say it, because that's what he's talking about here. Or to gratify any of my fleshly desires. He says, make no provision for that flesh at all. Well, how can that ever be that I wouldn't make provision for my flesh? Because you are to understand yourself as dead to this world. Paul says in the end of Galatians, through the cross of Jesus Christ, I have died to this world, and this world is dead to me. In other words, its system and its way of thinking is no longer my way of thinking, and its way of forming its opinion is not my way of forming my opinion. My opinion is formed by the Scripture and by who I am in Jesus Christ. Put you on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provisions for the flesh to gratify or to fulfill the lusts thereof. Because you're children of the day. You're children of the day. Which means as a follower of Jesus Christ, you have no need for those things. You have no need to run out and satisfy yourself like the world tells you you should. You have no need to go and get yourself stoned out of your mind or whatever else it might be. Because Christ is what you need. Christ is the one who now fulfills everything for you. And you find your fullness and all of your wants and needs fulfilled in Him. He is everything to you. You don't need all of these other things to give you pleasure or whatever else in life. Because He is the one who has given you everything anyway. See, it's fun to be a Christian. I know you're not supposed to say fun in church, but it's fun to be a Christian. Because young people, you can go out and enjoy yourself, play games, all of the things that young people like to do, and some of us older ones like to as well. And you can do it understanding yourself as a child of the day. Not simply going out into this world trying to gratify my desires. Everything's been met in Christ. He has made you His own. He has made you who you are today. And He tells you this day, He is your God. He is your Savior, your Redeemer, your Lord. He has washed you and made you clean and calls you now to follow after Him. And gives us everything we need. So don't chase the darkness. There's no hope there. Don't run after those things which you think will gratify your flesh. They'll bring you to hopelessness and deadness. And I'm talking to all of you people this morning, not just the young people. Young people perhaps deal with some more things than you and I who are older deal with. But man a-living, we make a lot of provisions for this flesh. And we need our minds and our hearts to be awakened again, even in this Advent season. That we wouldn't be simply about fulfilling the desires of our flesh as we live in this world, but we would understand who we are as the children of God, and we would walk as the children of God. We would be honest. We would be those who would love people and show them what it means to be Christians and followers of Christ in this world. Because as I mentioned a few times now, we're children of the day. 1 Thessalonians. Let me read that for you in closing. Marvelous, marvelous words written by the beloved Apostle Paul. The fifth chapter of 1 Thessalonians, I'm going to read the first 10 verses. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness. Listen to this now. He's addressing the church in Thessalonica, the church that repented, that turned from their sinful and idolatrous ways and turned on to the Lord Jesus Christ. This is how he identifies them. This is how he identifies you who are a believer this morning as well. But ye, brothers, fellow believers, are not in the darkness, that the day should overtake you as a thief. You are all children of the light and children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others. Let us be aware of this, in other words. But let us watch and be sober in our right minds. For they that sleep, they sleep in the night. And they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, again, to be in your right mind, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. That's the good news, my friends. That's the good news of the gospel. You are children of the day and children of the light. Your Savior has made you his own and calls you now to simply do one thing, and that is to follow him. So follow him. He'll never lead you away. He'll never lead you astray. And you will find yourself always in the light and not in the darkness. May God help us again this morning to understand the marvelous message of light. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you again this morning for your word. We thank you, Father, that even though very often we find it to be uncomfortable, yet nevertheless, you in your mercy and in your grace and in your kindness toward us shine the light of your gospel into our lives. So that, Father, we have no desire as your children to run into the things of the darkness, because those things don't identify us anymore. We are your children. So, Father, help us to live our lives out even in this world for the sake of others, to bring the message of the gospel to people, so they could hear the message of Christ and of the forgiveness that is offered, that is given through him. And help us, Father, who are children of the light, to live in that way, to follow after what your word says and prescribes, till the day, Father, that you come to receive each one of us, perhaps individually, or to the day when you come and receive us all. We look forward to that day, Father. We look forward to the advent of our Lord, his second advent, because it is indeed in that moment when our faith will be given sight. And Father, we will see you. We will see you just as you are. Oh, grant us your mercy this day, for we ask it for Jesus' name's sake. And Lord, bless us and keep us. Make your face to shine upon us and be gracious unto us. Lift up your countenance upon us and give us your peace. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Announcements. We family Bible study Wednesday evening at 8:00.